And let's kind of review, just a snitch. There's nobody here tonight that wasn't here this morning, amen. So we're just looking. We talked this morning about how God seems to be out of the picture in so many ways. And I realize that Jesus is God, amen. And that's, I think, what we do. I think that's what we kind of ride on. And there's nothing horribly wrong with that. Other than when another Jesus comes along and we don't have a problem here that it's another Jesus. Now, it wasn't just a couple of years ago. I didn't know much about another Jesus. I just figured that's what Paul warned about. But I have seen enough times that must be another Jesus. It must be a serious thing. He warned about that thing. And when we look at this thing in Romans, there's a couple of things that stand out other than the things that stood out to me this morning. You know, imaginations and without excuse. And God did give this to everybody. Amen. Manifest to everybody. That's an amazing thing. Now, I know John 3:18 says that, you know, we're already condemned before we're saved. You're already standing in God's condemnation. Okay, but he says right here at the beginning, verse 20, he says that he's given them all they need to know. So something must happen between the time that he gives everybody what they need to know, so without excuse, to where when they die, they think they have an excuse that they didn't know. And I tend to believe that what I said this morning is Romans 7:9, where a child dies. Whether it be a child or whatever, a person does die eventually, spiritually, and needs to be born again. But up until that point, God's given them everything they need to know, even a child. And I suppose in some ways that's why somebody who's, you know, like they all say, not, the elevator doesn't go to the top and the whole thing, a brick short and all that, you know, those poor folks that just don't have it all together, they're fine. Because God's already given them His love as such. And a lot of times those people that got the noggin missing really, really are good people. They love God. And they have a good love of God. So they must have something in there, you know. And they would have to have the Lord. Now this whole thing is preachable in verse 19, but I don't want to dig deeper into that thing. I want you to look at 18, and I want you to see the words up there where it says, of God. See that there? For the wrath of God. We look at 19, we see where it says that which may be known of God. We have to go down to 21 where it says, when they knew God. Then a little bit later in that same verse it says they glorified Him not as God. You go down to verse 23, you see the uncorruptible God. And you see in verse 25, the truth of God. So there's something there about God. There's an awful lot there. I'll go down to verse 28 where it says, and they did not even, as they did not like to retain God. So it looks like over time, a person gets seared. We know that's in Timothy. We know there's a place in Timothy chapter 4 where it says some people fall into the trap of the seducing devil, seducing doctrines from doctrines of devils. They get seduced into that stuff. We know that there's places where they turn away from the faith. So there's a constant attack on what God has already given us. So here we are. We know when we're born. We're born a baby, and there's nothing we're not being held accountable to that thing. But there comes a time, whatever God has given us, it's not enough anymore. And something happens. And that's when that gap is suddenly developed. That gap between us and God. We realize that we're a sinner. We realize that the commandment came, and sin what? Revived. It doesn't say sin began. It said sin revived. That means it's already there. So those little cute little kids you got sitting there, and daughters and girls and grandkids and all that kind of stuff, as cute as they are, and as much as God has already loves them, because he's not holding anything accountable to them, right? That sin's already there. It's just waiting to come out. And we have to keep these things in mind when we're talking with Sunday school kids or Bible club kids or kids' kids or your kids or somebody else's kids, that they need to even just understand that thing. You know, sweetie, that you're already, God loves you. And, you know, however you want to word it with your kids as you teach them these things. But there's something inside you that's going to come out and bite you someday. That'll scare them. Like Paul when it was fishing. Where's the idea of the fishing time? Fisher biting, he ran up the side of the dike thing there because he's afraid the fish is going to bite him, because they're biting today. And you know, you want to tell it to your kids in such a manner that they will understand that right now God loves them. And there's going to come a time where God doesn't all of a sudden push them out and dump them. It's just that something comes alive in them. And it's called sin. That's all. And until the sin comes alive, you don't want to talk him into it, because if it didn't come alive, it's not going to happen. I don't believe the salvation is going to be there. It's going to be one of those pretend things. So you just have to be patient as a parent and just wonder, I mean, the next time Nathan cries that he's not supposed to, is that the sin being revived? You know, no, but there does come a time when the kids realize that sin is revived. Now, when does that happen? Well, I have no clue. I think possibly what I said about that 20 stuff in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. A bunch of times. He doesn't hold accountable those guys that are in the desert that are 20 years or less. Or less than 20. Well, I'm not going to stand up here today and say that gives you an excuse, because you know in your heart, as a teenager or a young child or even a little guy or an older guy or whatever, you know when there's something, Mommy, there's something going on. And the preaching is what will bring that out. And the teaching in the home is what will bring that out. But you don't want to bring it out until it's ready to bring out. Isn't that a tough thing? It's not that easy. But I do believe that if you're just teaching your children the Bible and you teach them about God and all these things that can be taught in that Bible, if you're not jumping the gun with Jesus a whole lot, I think it'll be noticeable. Well, every parent wants every kid to be saved. Of course we do. And it's a temptation to teach it to them, whether they are, even when they're not. It's almost like it's a pride thing for us. Amen?
Right.
I experienced that back in New York when some of these kids really truly got saved, if they even did at the time. I mean, their testimony was such. And this one guy, he was afraid to even say anything because Mom already thinks. Who? Mom's the one he's afraid of. Always a fear that Mom's going to be upset because I got saved. Well, why would Mom get upset? You got, what about your dad? And what, you know, it's hard stuff. And of course, a parent doesn't want any unsaved children. It's a shame to them. We just have to trust God to work our kids. And if you've done anything bad in the past, which I know we have, and are raising our children, anybody here raise their children perfectly? Okay, so we're all in the same party there. We just got to trust God. Now, of course, I'm just winging so far here. Of course, when we trust God to take care of our children, who does He trust to take care of the children through Him? Us. So we can't just dump it off on God and say, well, God, you have Him. No, He's going to have you work on your kids with your Bible, with your walk, with your testimony. Because, see, I'm not totally sure if all these things that happens in this thing in Romans, if we don't help our kids. Let's look at verse 21. I mean, maybe the devil uses this. Remember that thing about being a traitor? I said the other day, look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Do we glorify Him as God? Do we have a healthy fear of God? See what I'm saying? Maybe we have taught our kids, or taught our neighbors, or taught ourselves even, to not glorify Him as God. Wouldn't that be a shameful thing? Well, how can you not glorify Him as God? Very easily. Verse 23 is where we do that at. We look to Him as a corruptible God, as a corruptible man. And that's an image that we have. So, you know, whether we look at our pictures, images, or whatever, how do we look at our Savior type of a thing? Is He just another man? You know, I don't know. Maybe we help them glorify Him not as God. It says there also in 21, neither were thankful. Maybe as parents in front of our children, we're not thankful to God. Maybe. See, this, what I'm saying is here is our walk as a parent might be actually causing these things to happen to our children. I'm not saying that it is to anybody. I'm not saying. I'm sure that there's been cases. That's just reality where we blow it and whatever. The other day, I was coming out of the shed. And you know, when you come out of a shed, you tend to forget what you're in. And I was in a hurry. I just ran out of that thing, and my head hit the top of that shed. Oh, I haven't had a pain like that Oh, man, since I did that thing as a kid, running through the bleachers, and I hit my forehead on a bleacher thing and just knocked it flat right there. And I tell you, it was close. It was close. So instead, this little screwdriver, boy, it went deep down into the earth. You know. Oh, man, did that hurt. And right away, I'm thinking, I probably got that neck injury now that people get, and then they get headaches forever, and then they're miserable, you know, and all that kind of, oh, man, Lord, And it's just one of those times. And well, I'm glad that there wasn't a bad scene there. You ever? So whenever something like that happens, what do we teach our kids? It's nice to be a grandpa, isn't it? There's nobody around anymore. Paul or Luke were there. That could have been a bad thing. Because, boy, pain kind of makes you do things without thinking. Have you noticed that? Sometimes it's sudden pain. And it's that sudden pain that you know hasn't hit for about a half a second, and you know it's coming. I mean, I whacked that thing, and it didn't hurt for about a half of a second. But you knew it was coming, and then there was. It's just, oh, man, you want to just rapture now. So do we help our kids? Look at this. It says, become vain in their imaginations. So they became vain, but became vain in their imagination. However, what do we teach our children about imaginations? What do we teach them about Jesus? Have we not contributed to that with our pictures and our drawings and what we've described, all that stuff? We're all guilty of that. And I'm guilty as a pastor, and I'm going to deal with it. I already have dealt with it as much as I can. I'll do it some more. Foolish heart was darkened. Maybe the parents' hearts are darkened. Goes back to Ephesians chapter 4. You're not reading your Bible? Then you're living on the vanity of your mind, and your understanding is darkened. And don't get mad at your kids when theirs is, because you're showing them an example of a darkened heart and how to get one, just by not reading. It's simple stuff. Professing themselves to be wise. Do we encourage that? I mean, we teach our kids to just have it all together, amen? I wonder if they get it so much together they become fools. Have we ever got it? Have we been so wise that we've been fools? Yeah. And God's shown me stuff. Because I believe that, well, I don't know why. I got some thoughts, and it's nothing spectacular. It's just, we just trust the book. And He's shown us some stuff. Nothing prophetical or the prophet thing. That's not that's the point there. The point was, if you just let God show you, He'll show you. And be patient. That type of a thing. And then down there in verse 25, we change the truth of God into a lie. Have we ever done that? Well, we're not a Bible corrector, so I don't think we've done along those ways. But I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe some of the things that take place in these verses here, we kind of help it along. And God will show you if that's true. Now, I don't need you to sit there and, you know, whip yourself and all that stuff and try to blame your kids on yourself. I do believe that our kids are what we teach them to be. Whether we taught them to be that way on purpose, we taught them to be that way somehow. And they probably took and ran with it, so they're worse than we taught them to be. Who knows? Have you ever had your kids be better than you taught them to be? That's a joyful thought. Amen. And that's a nice thing. Nothing to be ashamed of. And was it because of your testimony, because of your walk? I don't know what it was, but God got a hold of some of those kids, and they're turning out pretty well. They're trying, amen? So there's some neat things from God. This is all about God here, though. What I want you to see here tonight. Well, let's just do a couple of these things here. There's a bunch of verses, and you'll come across God as you read your Old Testament. We're a Bible-reading church, amen? And this is nothing spectacularly new for you. I didn't know that about God. But I think it's good that we be reminded about God here tonight. And maybe this next week too, because there's a lot more that I can do here tonight. Let's do this here. Let's look at, well, I tell you, it's hard to take notes in a car at night with, I think I left the mirror light on. I think I did. Pretty sure I did. You mind? Probably locked too. Got the keys? Too many curves on Highway 12. And these kind of pants don't grip like jeans do either. Well, let's save that for a couple of minutes. I didn't give a chance to put this in as pastoral preaching order here, so couldn't slap this on the machine up there, which is probably everybody's benefit here. Let's just look at what the Bible says God is. Now, because of the sermon here this morning, Marilyn mentioned to me, she says, boy, this is interesting, because in Kids Club, we've been going through God. We've been going through who God is and the Old Testament stuff and the stories of Daniel and these old guys and kind of leading up to what we need the Lord for. But even beyond that, as God. Almost like we're not saved people, we're not Jesus people, we just want to know about God tonight. Now, one of the things I want you to think of on your own, because I won't take the time to do this, because this would be a month-long series, anything we talk about here that's about God, I bet you some of you folks will realize, well, you know, I think Jesus is that way too. And you might even think of some verses in the New Testament that say Jesus is that. Because, see, Jesus is God. So that has to be. Let's look at this one just for a second here. There's a bunch of them. Psalms especially has got them all, amen?
Yes.
Let's go here to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's talk a little bit about God tonight. God the Father. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I suppose if a person was so leadable here, that this would have some carryover into us as fathers. Your dads that are here tonight. You're God to your children, you know that. Amen. They learn. Amen. Yeah. Well, you are. Whether you want to be or not. Whether maybe you're a false god, maybe you're the Antichrist or something. But you are the design. Your design is to be the God for your children. And however those children follow you, and however you are to them, that's how someday it's just a matter of the proper turnover, and you just hand them the key, and God takes over. It's just supposed to be that smooth. Doesn't always happen that way. And I know there's a lot of young people I've talked with that have such a lousy family situation that it's even hard to talk to them about God being a father, because they have no clue what it means to even have a father. That's a tough one. Talking to kids that don't have a father. Trying to tell them how good a father is. Now, I don't know where it's at, Proverbs, I think it is, but God says He's the father to the fatherless. And you got to show them that. But it really is a nice thing that you can... That kids can see God's ways of doing things. They can see that within their own family and see that from their dad. That just carries right on over. That's a hopeful thing. But Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, for example, here we go. You know what I'm saying about Jesus' application here as well. For the Lord your God is God of gods. Right? Okay, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Now, I'm just going to look at some verses. Maybe there's some preaching come out of these things or not. For example, you ever try to buy off God? You ever make one of those in the foxhole type prayers? Well, now, Lord, you know I've had a rough life and I've been really crummy, but now I'll get it together now, okay? If you just get me out from underneath this tractor, this lawnmower. You know, I will, really, and if you can get me out without being hurt, I'll probably preach even harder. I'll be better, and I'll visit people, and I'll do all these things that, you know, and you're trying to buy them off. And it says right there, He doesn't take reward. Now, you can look at that any way you want. Are you just buying Him off, or are you paying Him for what He's done for you? Either way, it means nothing to Him. He's just not into that sort of a thing. But I like the part there where it says, regardeth not persons.
Amen.
You know, I mean, Claude needs the Lord tonight as much as Mariah Carey, whoever, you know, that's why I thought of that name right now. But any of these famous fancy dude people out there, they need the Lord too. And God isn't going to treat them any better, any worse than anybody else. That's hard as a parent, amen? To not be a respecter of your children. Some children you like better than the other one sometimes. I don't know, is that true? I don't know. You just care for this one more than the other one. You have to be careful not to be a respecter of persons. If they all three did something wrong, they all three get spanked the same way. Unless, of course, you love the third one more than the two, then you just get the first two the hard ones, and then you just kind of justify the third one not getting it. Or the other way around. Because you are the third one, you get it more than the first two. No, you just got to be fair with the whole thing. You know? It's hard sometimes.
Amen.
It's hard. Pastor's supposed to be a respecter of no persons. We all need a sermon, and I don't want to offend this person, but I don't care if I offend this one. That's not right either.
Right.
You know, it's the way God is with us. Not a respecter of persons. And you know, let's look at Psalm 47:7 along those lines here. I do have these little critters categorized here. We're just going to look at God tonight, maybe Wednesday night, if anybody comes. 47:7. 47:7. If I was down there in North Carolina, I'd have to say 40. I can't do it. Psalm 4, was the light on? See? I'm glad you thought of it. 47:7, for God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. Now, you know, everybody knows out there that has any clue at all to Christianity. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, in Revelation chapter 19. But here it is in Psalm 47 that God is the King of all the earth. He's the King. So, that ties some things together, doesn't it? I have no idea what that word is. It must be Daniel. Let's try Daniel. Oh, that must have been about last chance road. I wrote that one. Yeah, I don't think that's Daniel, but I'll look it up here anyway. Daniel 2:47. I know some of you like it when I'm not prepared. Oh, this is the one. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is. I love the King James thing. Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. Amen. And there's all the stories there, you know, that we won't get into that sort of thing at this point. But that's where God is at. He's God of gods. That's good. Well, let's go to Joshua. Go to Joshua. Joshua 23. The window's open. You want to open that window? Boy, feel free to. Joshua 23:3. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. See, this is what you learn when you read the Old Testament. You see what God does. And it says there, ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. And then hopefully you'll teach your children over time about all these Bible stories. All the wars and things that take place. And all the death and the destruction. All the stuff that takes place. God's got to do judgment. Amen. But what I see when I look at that verse right there, I think right away of Ephesians chapter 6. Because it says, for the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. I look at Ephesians chapter 6. You know, there's nothing in that list of armor of God that's ours.
Right.
None of that's ours. I mean, the salvation's His. The shield is His. The righteousness is His. The peace is His. What else is in there? Faith is His faith. That's the big one. I love that one. That's His faith. The sword is His book. He fights the fight.
That's right.
He still does. God still fights the fight. But we just have to remember that in that New Testament, that gap that's bridged in Revelation 7:9 has got to be bridged. That gap's got to be bridged. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. Well, really, that's where God comes in, because isn't Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh? So it's really a pretty simple thing. He'll even fight our fights for us. Has He ever given you the right words at the right time? And you walk away from there going, man, thank you, Lord. That was really good. I remember back in North Star one time, a kid wanted to quit band. I preached to this kid because he was a jerk. And I just preached to this kid in the office. And by the time we left, the counselor lady said, man, that was really good preaching. Like, she was surprised. I said, well, Debbie, it was, wasn't it? She said, surprised me while I was saying it. It was just amazing. That was God showing you what to say with His words, you know. He'll fight our fights. And yet there are some times in the middle of a balloon rally or a fair, and He doesn't help you for a second.
Right.
He says to you, I've tried to teach this to you, and you won't listen to me. So here's what it's like to take a shot in the back. Or a shot in the front, even. You know, will you listen to me next time? And we do. The only thing is nobody ever asks us that question again. But that's all right. We're learning a lesson. Anyway, He fights the fights for us. Man, I'll tell you, kids grow up today wanting to what? Fight their own fights. Well, to a point, that's good, because dad can't be there forever. Amen? But they get pretty prideful. They want to kind of handle things themselves. And it takes us adults a while to finally trust the Lord, trust the book. And like we say here, we're blessed because we haven't been through a lot of training. We really pretty much have to trust the Lord. And He'll fight the fights instead of teaching us all that sort of stuff. So that's good. So God's in there fighting our fights for us here. That was in Joshua. Takes us to Ephesians here. Now here's one to consider. Let's go to Ezra. The thing about looking up God is we're going to have to find some books that we're not totally familiar with finding right away. Let's look at Ezra chapter 8. This is a little bit more powerful verse here for us. You know, if we want to just find out about God's personality and what He likes and what He doesn't like, let's just go through Leviticus.
Right.
So there's where that's at. Now, I don't expect this to be an earth-shattering sermon about who this God is, and people find out that they don't think they even know about God and get all excited. But I do want you to realize that we need to know about God. Amen. So we're going to learn some things about God. Here's another one. Ezra chapter 8, verse 22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. Amen? Isn't that good? But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. That's not so good. Now that verse right there just flies in the face of modern God to a modern Christian.
That's right.
This is the God that says, listen, if you're seeking Me, I'm there for you. But if you're going to forsake Me, He doesn't just pull away. What does He do? It says He's against them. Now I wonder if maybe that wouldn't even have some parental application. Kids, teens, young adults, you know, seek what your father would have for you. And I'll bet you your dad will give you some stuff. I don't mean stuff. I mean some wisdom and some advice and some manly stuff and all that sort of a thing. I thought of some questions David asked me, but I guess I can't talk about those. But he was seeking. And he said, Dad, I tried to hear this stuff before, but I guess I have to use this for... David will listen to this thing anyway. We were driving to the vet back in Rapid City, and I figured, you know, it's about time I tell David about some of this stuff because he's going to learn it from some of these jerk neighborhood boys. So I tried to tell him about it, driving him to the veterinary place where he was volunteering his time. And he wasn't in the slight bit interested, and I wasn't all that, you know, wasn't thrilled about it either, you know. But I told him some stuff because he didn't look at me. He's looking out the window. Like, I don't want to hear this, Dad, you know. So it made it easier to tell him, you know. Well, then we're back in North Carolina and stuff. I guess it was over the telephone or something. He said, Dad, do you remember that time you were trying to tell me about some of that stuff? And I said, well, yeah, we're going down Rapid Valley Drive. He said, oh, yeah. I said, you remember that, David? He said, oh, I haven't forgotten it. But I just didn't want you to know that I wanted to know. But he was really wanting to know. See, if I'd have known that he was wanting... Don't we parents just get tired of trying to teach our kids stuff that they don't want to hear? You know, I mean, really? Now, we don't know that maybe they still want to hear it, but there's a little embarrassment over some of this stuff, and he wanted to hear some stuff. Well, that was not the impression I got at the time. You know? And here it is right here. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. If we would seek God, if Claude up there would seek God, you know, then God will show him. And there's a bunch of verses in the New Testament about seeking God. And the modern Christian's messing with that seeker stuff. We don't need to get into modern stuff. We know what's going on out there. But the other half of that thing is His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. When do you think a kid would realize that, you know, if you just quit fighting your dad, it'd be a whole lot better. You know? And before we jump on that thing as a father, let's just remember what our Father says to us. If you would just quit fighting me over this stuff, I'll show you some stuff. I'll show you what's going on in your home. I'll show you what you can do. I'll show you how to get some things cleaned up in your life. I'll show you how to give you some more light. I'll even tell you what you need to get rid of. And you just seek Me and I'll tell you. That's God, though. That's not just Jesus. That's God. And yet remember that all this stuff about God apparently was already put in us at one time. It was manifest to us. And somewhere along the line it got seared, it got quenched, it got grieved, it got shoved aside to where after a while, didn't you not want to retain this stuff? You didn't even know you had it, did you? Before you got saved. You weren't even interested. Something happened. It's a scary thing to bring your children up with God and the Lord all the time. Because they need to be lost.
Right.
And you could educate your kids where they never get lost. Well, does that mean you want to let them go and be lost? Well, no, it doesn't mean that either. It's tough to raise children today. You just got to keep showing them God. There's enough stuff in that Bible that we can all get. And I'm not suggesting you do this. I'm just saying, for an example, there's enough stuff in that Bible that that's the only book you need in your entire home library. It is. It's all in there. They just need mom and dad to sit down and show them all this stuff. That's easy for you to say. It is easy for me to say. Because now that we've got three grandkids hanging around and all this kind of stuff, I can see the conflict of time.
Yeah.
It really stinks. I'm having a hard enough time sitting down and just meditating out a sermon here, and let alone emailing all these guys and writing some stuff back and some other things, and let alone feeling that I'm tired just watching Mike and Beck. And it's not because of what they're doing. I told Mike the other day, Mike, I am tired of watching your responsibility. It makes me tired to think you got four boys you got to raise and a wife, and I know that one, and the job market and the church you want to have and the Bible. Oh man, I just, phew. This grandpa thing is not near as bad as, you know. So the whole point of this thing here is we don't need to fight God. If any teenager, whatever, is just fighting dad, you're not fighting dad, you're fighting God. And just realize who this God is you're fighting. You know? There comes a time where the kids understand their father. They understand more. It can happen with our kids too. They can understand more about God in 10 years. So just hang in there with them. Just pray for them. Amen. It's tough stuff. Let's look here at Psalm chapter 7, talking about the fact that that verse in Ezra said, His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. That is not the God of the modern Christians out there, or even the God of the modern world, whether they be Christians or not. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11. Psalm 7:11. That's probably a fun sermon. In fact, look all the 7-11s in the Bible, see if they're all convenient. I should just do a light sermon sometimes, just because, but I just do it for myself and then forget about them, you know. Psalm 7:11 here, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Whoa, I don't think they know that verse. You know, man, that's a good one here. Let's go here to, I don't know why I got that one down there, Psalm 10. Let's see what Psalm 10:4 says here. 10:4 is probably the last one, over and out. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Boy, there's a slap in the face. You know? Through what? Pride. You know why our kids get the way they get? Pride. Where do you think our kids get pride?
The father.
Yeah. You know? I've been there. You ever been there? Didn't even seek after my dad. I was not even interested in seeking after my dad. Dad didn't drive right. He didn't eat right. He smoked wrong. Not that you can smoke, right? But he smoked. He smoked. He drank. He got mad. He'd cuss. And he irritated me. The dad just irritated me. You know what I needed? I needed a good spanking. You prideful little skinny. I mean, even that was embarrassing. I look back at those pictures. You know? Here's this skinny bones wearing this hip hugger pants, tight to the flesh, great big belt buckle, ugly paisley gold and brown shirt with just slimy green long hair, driving a Rambler, thinking he's cool. I could go on. You know, gloves that are too big. Nun bush shoes. Remember those nun bush shoes? I got them a size bigger because I wanted to have bigger looking feet. You know? I can't imagine every year the Shrine Circus came into town that Mom didn't think about it. You know? I got a job for you, son. You know? Oh, yeah. Don't forget. Thank you very much, patience. It's hard to forget those. You know, Coke bottle glasses before Coke was even originated. Oh, they were originated by then. You know, I mean, I look like the moon up close with a telescope. That was awful. I had the pulse, and I mean, everything, you know. And I'm telling my dad what he needs to do for a life. What are you laughing about, Castle? I can talk about that. You know, and y'all.
Amen. That's all.
With your parents, you know. So it's pretty hard sometimes to hold against our children what we've taught them to do just from the blood, if nothing else. But it does say right there, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Well, I wonder today if God is in all of our thoughts. Always in our thoughts? Well, Jesus, yeah, but is he always in our thoughts? I was driving to the hospital tonight thinking about this image thing. I was driving up for you guys for the horseradish burger, which, thank you, Tyler. Horseradish is actually good. It's an amazing thing. And coming back, I'm thinking, you know, they got that guy. He passed me pretty fast a while ago. This thing about all this picture thing here about you know, God's a jealous God, and we'll get to that in a minute here. Just take all those pictures down. And I'm not trying to support you here, Jerry, a whole lot here, but you know, I'd be willing to bet you that some of the stuff that we have on our walls is almost a god to us. We probably think about those things more than we do what we ought to think about God. Because, see, that's the whole point about him and images in Deuteronomy. He doesn't want anybody to have any images of anything because he doesn't want them to think about anything but him. That's his whole thing in Deuteronomy. He wants us always to think about him. It says there in Deuteronomy that the word of God's all over the place in the house and the posts and the whole bit, right? Everywhere those kids go, they hear about the Word of God. They hear about God, and they hear about the Scripture. Everywhere they go, there's Bible verses type thing. That's in Deuteronomy. You know, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed or something like that. God really wants our attention. So here we come along here, and we get saved because we understand the whole situation, and then we don't even think about Him probably all that much. Except maybe when we need Him. And we don't need Him. And he's made it so we can pray for a peace and a quiet life in Timothy. Nothing wrong with that. And we do have to go to work and give our time to our boss. We're the certain, that kind of a thing. Not a problem there. But it just seems to me that when he says here, God is not in all his thoughts, and we give our children a hard time about not wanting to do spiritual things and godly things and read their Bible all the time and all this kind of stuff, and I wonder what kind of an example we're setting for them. And I was thinking of the pictures of my kids on the wall. We got pictures of our kids on the wall. I got them in my office. I'm not going to take them down at this point. That's not my gist here. But you know, sometimes I really believe my children were my gods. I did everything to try to get my kids to do what I wanted them to do. The manipulator thing. I would not go to a church because of their music. No, I would not go to their church because of the music of what it would teach my kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just wonder if there didn't come a time where I lifted my kids up even higher than I should have as my little gods. I got their pictures up all over the place. So do you. Does that mean that you're kidding that your children are your gods? I can't say that. But are you willing to do anything to make your children happy? Are you even willing to do some things that you know you probably shouldn't do? Or buy, or go to, or make a joke, or crack a little funny, or just do something to try to get to your kids. And when some of that stuff was probably WRONG, probably wrong. Well, I don't know. That's just a... What do you think about all day long? I'm not going to say your kids are not worth thinking about. We think about our kids all the time. Amen. We ought to. But if you think about your kids or your job or even your church or your pastor or whatever, more than to think about God, that's not good. God still wants priority. So you can do with that what you want about that thing. That's quite a thing. Well, not seek after God. Are you seeking after God when you go to work? God, how would you want me to handle this, Lord? You know, going to the hospital tonight. My prayer was not here. I'm not just thinking what I'm going to try to do to get this guy saved. I got a bunch of verses I could think of. I could show him. That's to go to Luke. I mean, he could go to Jude. I mean, all sorts of things. Lord, what would you have me say to this guy? See, and I walk in the hospital door. I have no clue what I'm going to talk about, other than what I know I could talk about. I get in and I sit down and I kind of talk to them a little bit. And the conversation just kind of comes. There it is, you know. And we talked about something I never thought we'd talk about. Rosemary riding her bike into a brick wall. Would you let him do that, Claude? Well, no, I'd tell her ahead of time. And there we went on that little road thing, you know. We've got to keep God in our thoughts all the time. Amen. What if we turn on music? Are we messing with thinking about God all the time? See what music can do to you? That's a good verse to preach on for music friends. Remind me of that verse later. That would help along those lines. Driving down the highway to town, you know what you could think about? Bills? Health? Yeah. Your kids? Sure. How about thinking about God? You mean Jesus or God? Well, we're kind of talking the same thing here at this point. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. What would he have you do today? Maybe he'd have you go buy a new car. Maybe he'd have you buy the pastor a car. Maybe he'd have you go stop at somebody's house and be a blessing. And you wouldn't have thought of it if you had the radio going or the music going or your burden that you haven't given to him and you're sweating this and sweating that and whatever. Maybe you're just fighting. Who knows what you're doing? But that verse just told me to preach there, but we need to be thinking about God. Maybe he'll use you sometime. Maybe you want to be used by God, but maybe you don't think of him enough that he can't get across to you. What do he want you to do? Have you ever dropped in on somebody? Really, this is just kind of off the cuff. Have you ever just sensed a need for somebody and... I don't want to sound like a Benny Hinn thing or whatever, but have you ever just kind of sensed a need for somebody and you call them up and just want to talk to them and how you doing and that's all they needed? Wouldn't that have been nice if somebody would have maybe called you at a certain time? You can't hold it against them for not. But there's times, I'll bet. I imagine there's probably some times as a pastor I should be thinking about more time of what I should come by and maybe be a blessing or help or a curse or whatever. You know? Maybe you can do the same thing for your pastor. I mean, you know. I mean, I'm not just for the sake of discussion. It's a one-sided conversation. But, you know, think about God. Think of God. Thoughts of God all day long. Having a hard time at work? What's the one thing we can think of among these on these hard days for comfort? What is the one thing he tells us to always think of? His coming. Well, that's God coming, you know. That's God coming now. Yeah, think about that. That gives you comfort. I have no idea what the time is. I think I got one more I want to do here, though. It's, no, we're not in a big hurry unless you're just tired, whatever. But I got you. We can keep you for a little bit longer here. There's so many good things. Here's one in Job. Behold, God is great. Let's look at this verse. There's a preachable spot in there. Job 36:26. Well, it's a good thing I didn't plan this stuff out ahead of time. But a lot longer. There's a good phrase in there. And I want you to see it. I'll see if you can see it. Let me say anything. Job 36:26. Now I'll ask you what you think I'm looking at here, other than God is great. And if you don't have what I'm thinking, don't think it's the wrong answer, okay? But anybody say anything in the rest of that verse that's really quite a thing for us to consider today? Yeah, no, I'm not. Boy. Boy, that must have been rough in Job's day. Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. Isn't that exciting? God is great, and us little people right here, what can we say? We know Him. And I don't know where it's at. If I was any kind of a scholar brain, I'd remember. I could tell you what the name of the horse was and TV and all that. I can't think of this verse or that. But you know, God is great, and we know Him. I already forgot the verse I was going to tell you. Just that fast. See? Isn't that nice? Isn't that an exciting thing? That just really irritates me. God said, I gave it to you, and you lost it. What's your problem? Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. I have no idea where I was going to go with it. But I did when I was standing here. When I got to here, it was gone. Unless I wanted me to say it. Or else the devil didn't want me to say it. Old age? That's a good answer. God is great. Oh, it's back. God is great, and we know Him. So what do we do? Because we know Him. There's people out there, now you know this, there's people out there that are not saved and don't know God. They think they do. They talk to whoever this God is they have more than you do. And they worship Him more than we do. We go from one extreme of the Lutheran thing, where there's all this fake ritualistic worship stuff, to where we don't even think we have to worship Him at all. And we don't have to come up here and genuflect or whatever that little curtsy thing is for Catholics and all that. But they sure have a respect for God, don't they? We don't have a healthy respect for God. You know? Because we know it. And what's really exciting, according to the written scriptures, He what? He knows us. So, that's a neat thing. Neither can the number of His years be searched out. Yeah, right. Well, we don't have to bug Him about His age. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. This is an interesting little spot right here. Hope I'm not boring you with this stuff about God. These are just flinging things about God and just never thought about some of these things. I just found verses that says God is, and they're all sure preachable, but maybe we should say they're all talkable. We got more coming later, but these are just tonight's. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. It starts off with every word of God is pure, so we know that. Most people don't believe that, but we know that. I like the second half. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. He is a what? A shield. So we go back to the Old Testament. I gotta keep going stage left, stage right. Here's God over here. In the Old Testament, He was their shield. Well, now, if I remember right, Ephesians chapter 6 tells me that what is our shield? Faith. Whose faith? His faith. The faith of Christ. Christ is God. Wow. Even today, God, who was a shield for those people in the Old Testament days, you know what He is for us today? He's still our shield. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. He's our shield. Because it's faith. And it's His faith. Wow. What a neat God. How about Psalm 99? Psalm 99, verse 9. Then we got to get to one big one. Then we'll be done with it here tonight because it fits in from this morning here. Psalm 99, verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Well, man, there's a whole bunch of preaching on that one. The world out there must not believe that God is holy. He must just allow sin. He must just let it into the camp because it doesn't bother them that, you know, a queer could go out there and get in the pulpit, all that kind of stuff, or God just loves everybody. He can't love everybody because God is holy and everybody else isn't. They need to have Him make them holy. The only way a person can be holy is through Jesus Christ. He can take that sword and He cuts that flesh away from the soul and the spirit. You can now be holy. But the outside is still unholy. But if it wasn't for that operation, see, we couldn't know God. because God is holy. Do you see that process in there? So we have a holy God. He needs to have holy children. And I would think the first thing our kids would say was, well, if that's the case, my parents certainly aren't holy. Well, we're not on the outside. If any parent thinks he is holy on the outside, he's holy up here. Because we're not. But it's that sin that dwelleth within. Messes of that flesh all the time. Yeah. We're holy on the inside. That's the way it is. None of our sin that we do in the flesh gets imputed to the inner holy falsehood. So then, what does that do for it? Well, that helps us explain to people out there that if God is holy, you need to be saved. You need to become holy. Because that's what he says in Matthew. Be ye perfect. You must be holy. Pull that on those guys that pull that judgment junk on you and the peacekeeper stuff. Oh, tell me, are you holy? Well, no, I'm not holy. And explain to them, and then they'll look at you and they'll go, so you think you're holy, huh? Can you give me a couple minutes? Let me explain to you about that. On the outside, I'm my flesh, but the Lord comes in, blah, 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 and you show them that card of hand. Are they going to get that? They're probably not going to get that. Well, you tried. If that's the door that God opened up in a conversation, walk in. Because all it's going to do is make you stronger. And it's enjoyable to tell people, but just don't raise that nose too high. They need to know that our holiness is His holiness. They got to know that we're talking about His holiness that's in here, not ours. Let's finish this up here. As much as I could just talk about all sorts of things here, let's go down here because it fits so much what we talked about this morning. We can look up a couple verses here. Where did it go? Here, verse. Here, verse. Right here. It's always the last page. Yep. You notice that? It's always the last page. But if you think of that, and you go to the last page, you know what it is? It would have been the first page, which is the last page. So, whatever. Let's go here to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Finish this up. Tonight, we'll look at this jealous thing. God is a jealous God. And I got a bunch of verses. We probably won't look them all up, but we'll see here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. Says two things. It says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. And that's a whole other sermon. Consuming fire means His judgment is fire. Means His word is as fire, the Bible says in Jeremiah 23. So, and you can go to the characteristics of a fire. It's warm. It lights up the room. You go through all sorts of characteristics of the fire. Those are characteristics of God. And that's a neat sermon to do at a campfire some night. Hint, hint. But it also says they're even a jealous God. And if we go down to Deuteronomy 6, verse 15, where it says, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God. Amen. It says, for the Lord, 6:15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. That is one serious jealousy. And yet, because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we do something that takes away from God, the original plan for Him to wipe you out, you're gone. But He doesn't do it. Why doesn't He do it? Because He already did it. He took care of it all through His Son. So we can ignore the fact that, well, that's His problem. But it's not His problem. God is a jealous God. We just have to be thankful that what He's done for us is He didn't wipe us all off the face of the earth because of our pictures. Because the way I look at this whole thing, there was a couple of years I had pictures of Him all over this place. I used to think those were some neat pictures. And then we had the picture down there in the bulletin on the wall down there that was an original Dr. Ruckman. And I got some other pictures, got some other books. I'll go through some more things here. And me who's thinking this is really great because it's great drawings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It took this movie to come along and remind me that God is not into images. God does not want us to have an image of Him because it is not a true image. So, all the stuff I was saying this morning, you know, all that thing boils down to is God was jealous because we were looking at a picture that wasn't Him. And He was doing all this stuff for us, and I was looking at a picture that wasn't Him. Just picture yourself. You know, you go to your kids are growing up and stuff, and you go to their house, and they have a picture of some lady on the wall. It's not one of those things. It's just a lady's face and everything. And he says, "Mom, you like your picture?" "Well, son, that's not me." "Oh, well, it makes me think of you." Okay, so then you go home and you're kind of disappointed because, man, the picture my kids got on the wall is not even of me. It's like those pictures you get when you buy them at Kmart and Walmart. Who are these people? You know, I think most people take them out of the pictures. No? No, come on. Serious. Okay, then this is a good illustration. You know, you just don't say that that person is somebody else. I mean, you know, I hope you don't go to that extent, you know. But isn't that a weird thing? So here you are, you got your kid, you're getting a billfold. Here's a picture of this lady. "Yeah, this is Mom. This isn't me." "Yeah, but it makes me think of you, Mom." "Now look at that. Oh, I love my mom." You know, it's just there's something wrong about that. Well, I don't mean whatever's going on there. I don't know. But here's Jesus even, who's in us. The Holy Spirit's in us. God is in us. And we're making all this hoopla. And God knows the truth, amen? I mean, if anybody knows the truth, He ought to. And He knows that we were in this booth and we had a picture up. That picture might be all right. I don't know. I don't think so. At least the portrayal of Jesus Christ. I don't remember anything in there about Jesus sitting on a table or whatever. You know, the way this thing, and there's a little sign in that lists the things you did. That was a good preaching illustration. But we know too many people that came by and looked at that thing, and now that's what they remember. And now, assuming the fact that it wasn't right, because we're not supposed to have images, then here's God, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit in us, going, "That isn't how it's going to be." Now, the details we know, and we explain the details to the people. But that's like trying to tell somebody that this is a picture of Mom, and it's not Mom.
Right.
Mom would be disappointed. You know, so here's God. We got all these pictures, and He got all these pictures, and whatever it is, and He says, "Now listen, you're teaching your kids all about me, but they're not getting what they need to get. They're getting it from these pictures." That's a jealous God. And if He could have His way, He'd wipe that thing right off the face of the earth. Whatever comes between you and Him, it's got to go. Amen. Now, let's just look at what we're doing here. Yeah, we're all right. I mean, come on, we're fine. We're just going to go to Dairy Queen. We go to Dairy Queen anyway, so who needs to eat? Here, jealous, suspicious, apprehensive of rivalship, uneasy through fear that another has withdrawn or may withdraw from one affections of the person he loves. What was Paul's biggest thing? He was afraid that you would get snookered by somebody else. He was a jealous pastor guy. What do you think one of my problems are? Don't just go with the one I'm telling you about. I'm concerned that y'all would get caught up to somebody else. I just am. You know? I know too many little wolves that are running around. Matter of fact, don't go down that road. How a wolf that's failed in the brood 5 times would come back and steal some of you away. Because of something other than the book. That can happen, you know. There's things that can happen. I don't want that to happen to you. Is it just because you're getting old? You wouldn't know what to do if you had to get a job? Worried about stuff like that? That's the flesh. I don't want y'all to get caught by another wolf dressed like a sheep. They are everywhere. You men want some guy looking at your wife? You're jealous of your wife? Nobody's going to You know, I could tell you some stories about that. You know how guys' eyes go up and down? I was just waiting. Anybody's eyes went up and down? If I'd have had a gun in those days, I'd have shot him. You don't do that. You look at her in the eye there, buddy. Skinny little guy, you know, a little threatening. But that's the way we're supposed to be. Why do some people carry guns? To protect their family. You want somebody going after your children? No. You don't not want to. Your fear that something can happen to them. Suspicious that we do not enjoy the affection or respect of others, or that another is more loved and respected than ourselves. Now look at what God's done for you. Look at what He's done for you. And you're going to go run off to somebody that only died for part of your sins. The Mormons. You're going to go run off to some Jesus that if you don't stay clean, He'll dump you. God doesn't want you going off with a Jesus like that. You know? Pastors get pretty livid or whatever the word would be if you go to a different Bible. That's the Word of God. Why do you think I hate Greek so much? Because I don't know it? Yeah, I don't know it. But it takes away from your Bible. I hate Greek. There's even, you know, there's legitimate ways to turn into the Greek for some things. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't need it. I'm jealous of those other books that are out there. How about other pastors? I could get that way. This guy's going to swoon you, make you think everything's hunky-dory. He's going to give you some of this modern Great Commission stuff. That would bug me. There's some people out there listening to pastors now that could have been here listening to us, and I now know what God's done with us, and they've missed all that stuff. That bugs me. If they just would have hung in there, they would have seen God work and not me. And they'd be all right. Who knows, maybe in a couple months or something, some of you folks will take off. For some whatever it is. You know, this is your church, you know. Some other church gets somebody away because their church is more fun than this one. That ought to bug you. What do most people want to do? Well, let's make our church fun. Pastor, back off on some of this stuff. Husband, quit being so picky with me. God, back off. That's the direction people go. If you're really jealous of somebody, you want to make sure that you take care of them. Boy, you better tighten those reins. Because they're out looking for you. You parents, they want Tyler and Sam and Austin to be that way. Right. And John. And Olivia. They said, we're going to get your children. They said that. What a threat. And Shoni and Danny. And Patience. Now I got to go throw your kids in. I don't care. You know, Danica and Zach, and you know, that's it, I think. Oh, and Emily, and who? I know those. Brandon. Who's Brandon?
A friend.
Well, we want Brandon to be with God, don't we? We want you to always be with God. Look at your little kids right now. Can you imagine them going queer? I can't imagine that. Can you imagine that? Going lesbo? Sam comes home. Dad, I want you to meet Frank. Met him in school. Oh, he's a, and you're holding hands walking in the house, you know. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah, you know what? But still, it happened. And you can shoot the guy all you want and all that stuff. You can even shoot Sam. But it still happened, you know. And really, we kind of chuckle because we do, you know. And this sounds really weird, but I was happy when I heard that David had snitched some looks on some stuff because I was nervous. What if it would have been guys? That's how sick things have gotten us to be. That we are so worried about our kids, you shouldn't be looking at anything. It is so available to them. Now we want to at least make sure it was the right and wrong one. Isn't that awful? I worry about that all my life. about David being one of those wristbending guys. You know? Because it's taught. It is taught to our kids. And what are we doing to keep them from being taught that when there's so much entertainment floating around that'll teach it to them, whether we tell them it's wrong or not? Now, I'll tell you, that entertainment channel ought to just be just because of what's coming out of that thing. He's a jealous God. I guess you'd probably be, let's look at a couple of jealousy verses just to see how jealousy is. Let's go to Isaiah. I mean, why quit early? We're not quitting early. We'd be quitting normal church time. Let's look here at Isaiah. Read some of this just the other night with Scorby. Oh, it was good to hear Scorby again. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to 43 for one of them here. Let's just read a couple of verses. I won't preach about them. I'll just read them to you. You can go with them what you want. 43. It's either 1 and 2 or 12. I think it's 12. Yep. I have declared and have saved. Let's go to 11. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Let's look at 44. Verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Now, where have I heard that before? He is Alpha. Same guy. Isn't that wild? Same thing. Verse 7. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things, there's America for you, their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who has formed a God or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? What do those pictures do for us? Nothing. What's the book done for you? Everything. See? Let's look here at 45, chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none also. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. See, that's the God. That's what God is. That's who God is right there. That's an amazing series. Go down to verse 22. It's amazing stuff in there. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Boy, I've heard that before too. See, in Philemon. Jesus says that. Philemon or Philippians. Isn't that amazing? That's great stuff. Let's go to 46. Verse 3. Chapter 46. Verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me? and make me equal, and compare me that we may be alike. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. Money. See? They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves, men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's God. That's God. And a person needs to believe in God. Amen? Wow. And the last one probably is Isaiah 48. I say that a lot. You probably don't even listen to me say that anymore. 48 verse 11. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake. Isn't that weird? He says, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it, and how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. He's not going to do it. And you know what he has to do when we take Jesus Christ as our Savior? You know what he has to do? He has to let us give some things some glory more than him. Because he can't do anything about it. He could, but he'd go against his word. When he says in Timothy that he would have to deny himself, he would have to deny himself to do to us what he needs to do to us because we have worshipped other gods, or we have looked at other images, or we have put something between us and God. Whether it be work, whether it be money, whether it be pictures, whether it be whatever, whether it be ourself, whatever it would be, he would get rid of it. But he can't. Isn't that amazing? He has to put up with it. Now, what has to put up with something? The Holy Spirit. So, just when you think you were having a halfway decent Christian walk, somebody comes along and beats you up for your pictures. Finds out that because of the pictures we've been looking at all our lives over Dr. Ruckman's paintings and drawings and these other pictures we find in magazines and stuff, Christian magazines and Christian books and all this kind of stuff, to find out that actually bothered God. So he'd wipe all that out if he could, because that's dealing with his jealousy. And from what I can tell, that's the scariest part of God. Is that we read tonight what he would do if he could. But he doesn't. That shows me the serious quenching that goes on in our lives because of some of the things that we thought were fine and hunky-dory. So what does he do? He shows us. Isn't that exciting? I mean, he shows us that this whole image thing is a problem. He shows us that this whole thing about our children, it's probably because we've left him out of the picture. We brought in Jesus, and we brought in all these pictures, and a lot of it wasn't even true. It was true what we told them, but it wasn't true what we showed them. And now we're finding out why people are going queer. It's because they changed God, uncorruptible God, into a corruptible one. And I'm not so sure we haven't done the same thing a little bit. And all these things about being the jealous God. Man, should we be thankful or what? We're already out of the picture. We've been out of the picture for a long time. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Quit reading the Bible. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You know, it's all still here, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Even when we don't do it right, He tells us how to deal with it. Get up and let's go from here on out. That's what He says. Renew your spirit daily. Pray without ceasing. Be happy with what God showed you today. Might have been kind of hard. Might have been kind of discouraging. But that'd be the devil trying to spoil something that you just learned that was true. I'm just glad He showed me that. Right after church today, it wasn't 2 minutes, and I got a cute little guy. I guess I can't say that anymore, can I? I got this nice tough guy comes up to me and says, "Pastor, there's a picture right down the hall." Tells me what it is. Okay, go get it. Well, that's pretty neat. Comes walking in with this thing. I think you bought this, didn't you? Didn't your birth pay for these kind of things? Weren't you guys the ones that did that? No, the board. The board. Nice board. You know. Well, I guess these pictures got to go. Unless, of course, you want to put a booth up. Come see the Antichrist. Nah, we don't want to do that. Might be what I'd like to do. Wouldn't be the first time that I wanted to do wasn't the right thing to do, though. Amen. I'm good at that. Learn how to do that in school. Okay. Isn't it amazing how fast they learn?
Oh, amen.
We'll show them some of this. Oh, he's learned that pretty fast too, though. That's pretty good. So anyway, there you have just a few things about God. There's so much in there. Let's take a 5-minute break. We'll come back. We'll do 10 more. I wish I could see these. These are pretty neat. That's a good one. He's able. Romans 11:23 and 14:4. God is able. God is faithful. God is holy. There it is again. What a marvelous God. Let's take our songbooks and let's finish up singing on what is that? Be Thou Exalted. That's probably somewhere between 1 and 5. Be Thou Exalted. Somewhere between 1 and 500. It's probably 524, but let's just finish up with a good song about the Lord.
527.
It wasn't between 1 and 500, was it? That's it. So now when you go home, and you don't have to do this, I'm telling you, today was my testimony about pictures and images and stuff, and I would encourage you to think about it, but I guess only for His sake.
Right.
I'm not supposed to care what you do, and I don't. I just think of what God can do for us. So let's exalt Him with our singing here. Nope. You can run back and do that now if you would, so it doesn't run the tape long. Oh, it did. Yep. Goodbye, web world.